in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30. So the scripture verses are going to show up behind on the board, but if you wanted to find them in your bulletin, you do have an outline that you can follow and take notes on, and I trust that you will take advantage of that. But we're going to stand one more time, and we're going to read the word of the Lord, and we're going to let the word of the Lord just soak into us and do what it has to do. Amen? Matthew chapter 7. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Matthew chapter 11, 28. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let us pray. Father, once again, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts, with thankful hearts, the lives that have been changed by the power of God. And Lord, we just ask for your word to do that today, for your hearers that are here. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what your spirit is saying this day to those that are here and those that are watching online. And we pray that we'll find the freedom that comes through Christ, that comes through that name of Jesus. Bless our time here together, we pray now, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. A comprehensive care guide came across into our office the other day from a corporation in Tampa, Florida, who published these astonishing but results of what's going on in our society today concerning stress. So I just want to read to you some of these things. Now, the name of my topic is the rest of the story, but as I've been praying over this, I thought about maybe I should have entitled it The Rest in the Story. So of the story, in the story. You take however you want to take it. But these are some of the statistics that were released from this comprehensive care study group sharing with us what's going on today in America. It says 1 out of 4, that's 25% of American people, suffer from mild to moderate depression, anxiety, loneliness, and other painful symptoms which are attributed mainly to stress. Number 2, 4 out of 5 adult family members see a need for less stress in their daily lives. Is that true? Do you want less stress in your daily life? Yeah. Number 3, approximately half of all diseases can be linked to stress-related origins, including ulcers, colitis, bronchial asthma, high blood pressure, and some form of cancer. I'm not the expert. I'm just reading to you what this comprehensive study has issued. Number 4, unmanaged stress is a leading factor to homicide, suicide, child abuse, spousal abuse, and other agitated assaults. These are high figures, my friend. Number 5, the problem of stress is taking a tremendous toll on our economy. In our nation alone, we Americans are now spending $64.9 billion a year trying to deal with the issue of stress. Whatever that entails, whatever that covers, I don't know. But these are the facts that we're getting. And I share these sobering facts with you for 3 reasons. For you to understand, and for me to understand, that we need help in this enormous problem which is now invading and soaking into American society and causing people to not live the way God wants them to live. The second reason is to help us see that if we are expecting stress-related problems, or I guess I should say, I want you to see that you are not the only one facing stress-related problems. It's just not about you. It's about others as well. And number three, the most important one I want to remind us today is that there's always hope. There's always hope. There's always hope. When you feel stressed out, there's help and there's comfort. There is a healing and there's a peace that you can get in your troubled soul. I've heard these words over the years of our counseling. I heard these words that you need to escape the stress. Others say that you need to endure the stress. But I'm here to share with you today that you need to cast all your cares, all your stress upon the Lord and let Him take care of them. See, it's church, it's not about escaping, it's not about adoring, but it's about casting, giving God all your cares. And Jesus shared this good news, and we've always had this good news at our fingertips because it's found in the Word. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and Christ says He will give you what? Rest. Come to me, all you who are burdened and exhausted and stressed out. Another translation says that. And I will give you peace and comfort and strength. So church, we have among us and we have in our hands the Word of God that gives us the direction and the guidance we need where we can go get help in the time of trouble. And Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30 tells us this. Come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. There's rest in this story. There's rest in this Bible. There's rest in Jesus. And He says, take my yoke upon you because it is what? Easy. So that word weary in the Bible means, the word weary is found in the Bible. The term weariness is found in the Bible throughout Scripture. And I just did a little search on this. In Job chapter 7, verse 3, it says, Job was weary. He says, wearisome nights are appointed unto me. Weary of some nights. The word wearisome here in Job means to grieve, to travail, to worry, to feel misery. David said in Psalm 6:6, David was weary. I am weary of my groanings, I water my couch with tears. Have you done that lately? Have you watered your pillow with tears? Have you watered your couch with tears because of the stress that you're under? I mean, this is Scripture. We can relate this. Paul was weary. Paul says in weariness, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, in weariness and in painfulness and hunger and thirst and cold and nakedness. That word weariness in the Greek means to be fatigued, to faint, to be reduced in strength. Have you ever felt that way about weariness that comes your way, where you are just overcome and you're just tired and exhausted? Even Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 6, Jesus used these words. Jesus, therefore, being wearied in his journey, sat down on Jacob's well. That word weary in the Greek in John 4, 6 means to feel drained, to feel faint, to feel fatigued. Jesus felt drained. He felt faint. He felt fatigued. He can associate with us today. Believers in Thessalonians were weary. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, but ye brethren, do not be weary in doing well. We've heard this said many a times. Because if you don't become weary in doing well, then in due season you shall what? Reap if you do not faint. So there's a weariness that comes. And that word weariness in the Greek means to weaken, to fail, to faint. Jeremiah was weary in Jeremiah 8:18. My heart is weary within me. I faint. Jeremiah said that. Jonah, can you imagine this man, what he went through? In Jonah chapter 2, verse 7, my soul fainteth and is weary within me. So church, all through Scripture, we see the weariness and the weary that happens in people's lives and people's hearts. You are not exempt from what they've gone through. But hopefully today I can give you some insight and some tools to help you as you go through these issues that may be in your life. What does it mean to be weary? That's the question that people ask. And I say it comes in all forms, in all ways. It doesn't disguise itself and it doesn't mask itself, but it does control you and your outlook and your decision making and everything that you do in life. And if you've been there, you know what I'm saying. If you haven't been there yet because you're young, you're going to be there one day. I afford you of that. It's going to happen. None of us are exempt from this because it's a part of what life is about. But with Christ, He makes all things beautiful. So let me go into this if I could. He offers us that rest. There's three things that produces rest in the spirit of man. The first one is up on the board. Come to me, all you who are what? Weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What does Jesus mean when He says, I will give you rest? I mean, is rest shutting your door and not being bothered? Is rest means that you can lay your head down at night and not worry about any cares because somebody else is taking care of that? So when Jesus uses these words, when He says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, Jesus is focusing on the spirituality of man itself and woman itself. Jesus is focusing on the cares that will cause you to be dragged down and to be dragged out. And if you're not careful, you're going to be brought into a fight and you're going to lose that fight. Because that's what it does. Weariness will beat you. It will fatigue you. It will zap you of your strength. It will take everything in you that you don't want to give, and it will take more than you can give. Because that's what it does. That's what weariness does. There are some facts of the days in Jesus lived in. The Jewish people were very laborious in the weight of the ceremonial law. They believed in obtaining the ceremonial law. That was a weight that they had. Jesus' disciples and followers wanted to get out of that Judaism legality and all the different burdensome rites and rules and regulations that were laying upon them. That's why they were looking for a Messiah. That's why they were looking for a Savior. That's why they were looking for someone to come, to get them out from underneath that. Just not the Roman rule and order, but also out from the ceremonial laws and the regulations that they were under. They were looking for a deliverance. They were looking for someone to take them out of that. They would feel that God was displeased with them and that they felt short of what God wanted for them. And truly, sin will make you feel and make you fall short, because that's what Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we see that these are the results and the performance and the taskmaster. But really, in all reality, Jesus was saying, come unto me, draw nigh to me. Why? Because He wants to what? Minister to you. Minister to you. I'm a minister, and maybe through the words that I'm saying, hopefully I'm ministering to you, but He wants to minister to you. He can minister to you in ways that I can't. He can say things that I can't. He can bring things to pass that I can't. I may articulate words and I may be able to say certain things, but in all reality, what I say and what I do means nothing unless Christ does it. Unless Christ does something in your heart and your life way beyond what I could even think or way beyond what you could even think. Don't stay arms or length. Don't carry your burden alone. Don't labor in your own energy. Because that's what people do. That's what people do. They stay at arm's length away from just not people, but away from God. Maybe things aren't going right. Maybe things aren't going good. And you just stay arm's length away from God. God knows I'm here. If He cares about me, He's going to take care of me. But that's not what God wants. He says, come to me. You have to do something. You have to put a proaction in what you're going to do. You need to come to Him. And He said, I will give you rest. He promises that. He gives us rest. And we need that rest from time to time. We need that. I mean, I'm not here to talk about me, but the only best way I can explain this, when I really got some good rest, when I had a colonoscopy. I'm sorry, people. I'm sorry. They put me out, and I didn't want to wake up. She came and she shaked me and she goes, it's time to get up. I said, no, no, leave me, leave me. She goes, no, you got to get up. I said, no, leave me. It felt so good. It felt so good to fall asleep. I don't know if you've been there like that. That's the only rest that I got like that before. I'm not a man that ever had a surgery. I did have a broken bone a couple years ago. But I never had surgery. I had something of that type of procedure that put me out. But Jesus can do better than that. He can do better than that. You know, the doctor said to me, that's why we put people out, so they don't tell us what to do. He might got a good point there, doesn't he? Might got a good point. I know when you're under an operation, you don't can't say too much. So when you're under Jesus' knife, if you're under Jesus' care, you really can't say too much. You just got to be open to what he wants. Mind me if that's not a good image for you. He says, I will give you rest. This is Christ's promise to you. This is not my promise. This is Christ's promise to you. And that's the neat thing about this. God, Christ, promises this. He promises this. That brings my heart to joy. That brings life to my soul. That God said he would do this for me. I don't deserve it. I surely don't deserve it. But yet he brings me rest in the midst of that. That word rest here also means relief. That word rest also means a source of non-laboring. That word rest also means to take our heavy laden burdens off of us. If Christ promises this, then that word rest denotes refreshment of the body and the soul by coming close to Jesus. In other words, you got to come close to him. That's the only way that you're going to be refreshed. Taking a sabbatical, taking a vacation, you may get rest. But you're not going to find the refreshment that you need unless you take time to spend with Jesus. Unless you spend time with Jesus. That's the only way that I've come to understand in my spiritual life, in my Christian experience, with my relationship with Christ, the only one way that I find refreshment and get refreshed is when I spend time with God. It's not that God comes to me, but I have to come to him. He says, come to me. You have to do it. You have to do it. God is always there, and he's always willing to come to your aid. But he wants you to make the first step. He wants you to make the first adventure out. He wants you to reach out to him, because that's what he wants of you. And then he knows that you're serious. Let's go on to the next one. What does it mean to be weary? Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened. What does this mean? The reference is taken from a man or woman who has a great load laid upon them, which must be carried to a certain place. That's what that word weary means here in 11:28. It's a load that's laid upon you that you must carry to a certain place. I'm amazed at the gold rush that took place in Alaska there in the 1800s and how people would literally load their backs up in animals and climb up those mountains and climb into the wilderness to find out where those gold veins were because they were looking to get rich. They were willing to carry that load, and many died. Many froze to death. Many overworked themselves, but yet they had a goal in mind, and they kept on pressing on because they knew that they had to do that. But Christian, every step that we take without Christ, we're reducing our strength. Every decision we make without Christ, we are zapping our strength from us. Everything that we try to do in life, no matter how compassionate we may be, if Christ is not involved with that, the load is going to get heavier and heavier and heavier. Are you with me? Because that's what it does. That's what it's supposed to do. It's a wake-up call for us to let us know today that he doesn't want us to be weary. He wants us to cast our cares off upon him. He wants to help us carry our cares. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? We were vacationing in Hawaii, and as we were vacationing in Hawaii, we were just hiking some of the trails there, and we came upon these two Danish, I think they were Danish girls, and they had backpacks bigger than them. I felt sorry for them. So I asked one of the girls, can I carry that for you? You know, I'm a big, strong guy, and I did. I carried it halfway of the 5 miles. The other girl who was carrying the other backpack says, do you think it's time for you to carry mine and not hers? You know, I mean, carrying burdens sometimes is not easy. And strength is so important. But the fact is, when we look at life itself, I can't carry your burdens. I can't solve your problems. All I can do is try to direct you and lead you in a way where you can find answers. And I do know the answer is Christ. So that's the answer I'm going to give you. Oh, it's easier said than done. You're right. It's easier to do it than try to hold back and draw away from him. Carrying it. Oh, what great punishment we put ourselves under. That every step in our journey that God is saying, I want to help you. I want to be there for you. I want to aid you. I want to assist you. That brings me to my second point. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. You will find rest for your soul. Think about that. Focus on that. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. I know there are some things in life, by watching somebody else do it, you learn it. You comprehend it. Sometimes people give me their name. I have to write their name down I have to see their name in order to get it. I remember I did a wedding one time for a lady from Bosnia, and I could not say her name. I took my phone out and I said, say your name 10 times in my phone. And day after day, I would always go to that place and I would hear and I would hear her name 10 times. And what did you know, when the wedding came and it came time to marry her, do you think I said her name right? I looked right at her. What's your name again? Sad. We're human. We make mistakes. No matter how much we try, how much we try to put in practice, how much we try to make and to accomplish things in life, we don't meet the mark. But God meets the mark. God meets the mark. I can't compare myself to him. I pick on myself. But at the same token, I know I need him and you need him. What does Jesus mean when he says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy? When you take his yoke, then he will give you rest. There's just something about having him involved in the situation. It may not change the situation. The situation may still look dim. You know, there are a lot of times it says prayer doesn't change the situation. Prayer changes you as you look at the situation. That's what it's about you being changed. He will supply and meet your every need. He will refresh you in battle. He says, my yoke is easy, so take it upon you. Why are you dealing with this by yourself? Why are you doing this to yourself? Why are you causing these things to happen in your life? Well, all you can do is just take his yoke, and it's the most easiest thing to do, to give somebody else, not somebody else, but to give Christ your problems, to give Christ your situation. Jesus used this illustration for his hearers to understand. Maybe here, we might know that. But if you're a farmer, you know this. Let's go to the next slide. Is it the next one or the next one after that? Okay? Jesus uses this word yoke. Now, this word yoke means, in the Greek, well-fitted. So when they have two oxen that would plow a field, they would take a stronger one and put them in one part of the yoke, and they would put a weaker one in the other part of the yoke, so the strong one will teach the weaker one how to plow, how to be used. And this is what Jesus is saying. I'm not saying that Jesus puts you in a yoke, but he says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, I'm at one end, I want you at the other end, and together we're going to do this. Think about that. Together, we're going to do this. Christ is not saying you're going to do it. He says we are going to do it. That brings comfort to my heart. I hope it brings comfort to your heart. So taking that yoke, can Jesus say meant that you would become his disciple? I think that's one before, right? Okay. To take a yoke in Jesus, they meant to become a disciple. That means you're going to come alongside of him. You're going to be by him. How do you think the disciples learned? They went to school at night. And then they just hung around with Jesus during the day? No, they were with Jesus all the time. They learned of him. They knew what to say and when to say it, and also know how to be compassionate in saying it. So you become a disciple. And that, and of course, that what brought me to the next one. You are well fitted for that. You're well fitted for that. So take my yoke. Think about it. Christ is not asking you to do it alone. He's not asking to be arm's length away. He's not asking you to carry a heavy burden by yourself. He's not. He's saying, come alongside of me. Let me help you. Let me aid you. Let me assist you. You may stumble. You may fall. But I'll be there to make sure that you don't fall down. I'm there to help, in a sense, pick you up. We're going to work this. We're going to do this together. We're going to accomplish this. You're going to get victory over this. You're not going to be defeated by this, but you're going to be a victor about this. See, this is what Christ is saying. When you try to do something by yourself, you're always going to fail. But if you do it with Christ's help, it's going to happen. I know when I have kids, when they're younger, something they like to do, and they always like to do, they always like to try to put on my clothes. When they were that small, my clothes were like a tent to them. You know what I'm saying? They would try to put my shoes on, and they would stumble and fall. They could not fit into my clothes. And I didn't expect them to. But yet, they wanted to. They wanted to. You know, maybe some of you got an image of Jesus today. I can't be the Christian that God wants me to be. Well, maybe you, because you're trying to be fitted to what Jesus does instead of just allowing Jesus to work in your life and be fitted to what he gives you. He'll never give you more than you can handle. Isn't that the truth? He will never put more on you than you can handle. That's what he says. He won't do that. He's a loving God. Jesus doesn't mismatch. He knows. It's tailor-made just for you. Don't let others put their yoke on you. That's the other thing. Don't let others put their yoke on you. I hear people tell me all the time, well, I believe the Bible says this, and I believe the Bible says that, and that's what you need to do. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't believe that's what the Bible says. I'm not going to let somebody else put their yoke on me. I'm accountable to God. You're accountable to God. If I try to put something on you that is not meant to be on you, you're not going to offend me and say, Pastor, is this not for me? I remember when we needed workers in the church and I needed workers in the nursery and I couldn't get anybody to volunteer to work in the nursery. And we had a gentleman who was rough. He was cruel. Not cruel, just cruel. I don't know what the word to use. He was tough, wasn't he? He was tough. And I said, do I have anybody willing to work in the nursery? Nobody raised their hand. But this man sat in the front row. He raised his hand. He got the attention of everybody in the church. And wouldn't you know, after that, everyone raised their hand to work in the nursery. Because they didn't want him to work in the nursery. Some of you might know him. His first name is Roger. Yeah? And I said to Roger, I said, Roger, did you do that so I can get volunteers? He goes, no, my heart was in it. If I had to go to the nursery, I'm willing to serve wherever I got to serve. Bless his heart. Bless his heart. So, church, when we look at this, you can't be yoked by somebody else. Allow Jesus to fit that yoke. And I will say, even me as a pastor, sometimes I'm going to ask you to serve in a position that you might not feel comfortable serving in. Do me a favor. Be honest with me. Say, I don't think that's my place of expertise. I'd rather you be honest with me than do something because I asked you to do it. Because if your heart's not in it, you're going to walk away from it. You're going to walk away from it. And I don't want that. I want your heart to be in it. And I want God to be in it as well. All right, let me go on to the next one. Take my yoke upon you. Again, we already looked at what the yoke means. I probably already said it. But these are the three points that I want you to get. What is the yoke of Jesus? To take a yoke in Jesus' day meant to become a disciple and walk beside him. To walk beside him. You got to walk beside him in order to know him. You can't get ahead of him. You can't fall behind him. You got to be right by his side. Yes, he may be by your side, but you got to be right by his side and stay in step with him and what he's doing. That's what it's talking about. To be yoked to Jesus means to submit to his authority as master, to submit to him in absolute dependence, to accept his government as rule in your life. And church, once you do these three things, and to submit to his authority, submit to his absolute dependence, to accept his government as a rule in your life, when you do that, things begin to happen that normally doesn't happen. Things just begin working out right. Things just happen in such a systematic way, and you say, wow, I just didn't know that could be that way. Things just take place, and you're amazed. You're amazed what God can do and how God does things. So I want to encourage you, if you're going to take the yoke of Jesus, submit to his authority. Submit to his absolute dependency. Depend on him. God, I'm going to do this, and I can't do it in my own strength. I need you. I need you. I can't do it in my own. I need your strength. And lastly, I accept rule in my life. And when I look at rule, I don't mean that he rules me with an iron fist, by no means. What I'm talking about, that if Jesus can use my mistakes and maybe some of my foolish words that I say for his glory, so be it. Because I'm a vessel for him, and I want to be used for him. It's not about me, it's about him. It's about him. Is it harmful to submit to his authority? Is it harmful to depend upon him? Is it harmful to accept his rule in your life for your conduct? No, it's not. It's the best thing that you can do. It's the best thing you can do. We receive a never-failing supply of his grace. We receive security throughout our journey. We receive comfort and consolation in every duty that we're asked to do. We receive aid of the Spirit for the responsibility that is laid upon us. That's why his yoke is easy, because he's involved. If he's not involved, it's going to be hard. If he's not involved, you're going to have problems. If he's not involved in your life, things are going to happen that is going to make you realize that you got to be dependent upon him. And then my last point is this. Learn of me, for my burden is what? Light. Learn of me, my burden is light. I want you to get the scenario of what's happening here. He's talking about yoking with him. He's talking about casting your cares upon him. And when you learn of him, you understand that his burdens are light. His burdens are light. Let me get into it. What does it mean to learn of me? It means to walk with Jesus. Now I'm talking about walking on the side, but now I'm talking about walk with Jesus. Years ago, there was a phenomenal fad that went through our society called WWJD. What would Jesus do? I like to add to that. I like to add WWJT. What would Jesus think? WWJS. What would Jesus say? Are you getting me? Because it's not about just what would Jesus do, it's what would Jesus think, what would Jesus say, where would Jesus go, because you are his representation. You are the only book that maybe some people will ever read because they won't pick up the Bible because they say they don't understand it. But I challenge them, pick up the Bible, ask God to give you the insight as you read it, and he'll make all things known to you. So when Jesus says, learn of me, means walk with Jesus, what is he trying to say? That his burden is light. When you learn of Jesus, something happens in your life. Something happens. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus think? Where would Jesus go? When you learn of him, you start learning these things and you start saying, you're right. I just can't do that. I'm sorry. You don't want anybody an explanation to be accountable to God and what you do. Just be obedient to what he asks you to do. We come by faith and we embrace him, and then we find rest. We accept his yoke as full surrender and obedience, and then we learn to walk with him. Now, what does it mean when we compare the burdens of this life without Jesus with the burdens of Him in our life? And the answer would have to be this. It far outreaches, because His burdens are a lot lighter than our burdens. I want you to get that. Compared to the burdens of this life without Jesus, His burdens are far what? Lighter. My heart goes out to some of these families that are struggling and having a hard time, and they're in situations that are unbearable sometimes. I know that. But when you take on His burdens, it's far lighter than you carrying those burdens alone. The burden of the Lord and the requirements are far lighter than the burden of sin. The burden that sin imposes is heavy. The burden that Jesus carries is lighter. The broad way to hell is burdensome, but the narrow way to heaven is a blessing. I hope you got that. The law of sin and the world systems are slavery, but the law of the kingdom of God is far lighter than the laws of the kingdom of darkness. That's why Jesus is saying to us today, it is far easier to be a Christian than to be a sinner. It's far more enjoyable to be a Christian than it is to be a sinner. It's far more pleasurable to walk the narrow way than the broad way. Church, that's what it means by embracing, being comforted, joining, being a part of. That's what it means. But instead, people just want to live in their miseries. And I don't know why, but that's their choice. And what do? We try to offer to them a better way. The broad way will lead to what? Destruction. But the narrow way leads to life everlasting. Let me give you my thoughts about invitations, if I could. Maybe you don't want to hear. But let me give you my thoughts about invitations. Day by day, they appear at our doorsteps. They arrive by mail, emails, by telephone, even by television, by newspapers, or even in person. We are invited to special events more than we need to be. I don't know if you find yourself in that situation. We're invited by friends who want to get married. We're invited by the school to help raise funds. We're invited by stores when they have sales in their aisles. We have special events about what's going to happen. And it says, you are invited. Invitations, you are invited. There is a deeply personal and eternal significance about invitations to us today. And it doesn't come from me, it comes from God. It doesn't come from me, it comes from God. And His invitation is what we read. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. This is not my invitation, this is God's invitation. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. If God wanted to send an invitation to you today, I believe the invitation would read something like this. Jesus of Nazareth requests the honor of your presence. The Lord of the sea and the sky has heard His people's cry. The Lord of the snow and the rain has felt His people's pain. His hands can save us. Just come to Him and give Him your all. Church, this is the invitation God gives. The invitation I'm giving today, but also the invitation He gives every day. The worship team is going to come up and going to lead us in some worship. And I'm hoping as we're led in worship that you will take up the invitation, whatever that invitation may be. Whatever it may be. It could be simple. At the same time, you could say, it's difficult, Pastor. You don't know. And you're right. I don't know. But I know God knows. I know God knows. The invitation that I extend is not to a building. The invitation I extend to you is not to go to church. The invitation that I extend to you today is authentic, it's relevant, It's redemptive, and it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to ask everyone if they would just bow their heads and close their eyes. Because I want to give an invitation today to a soul that might be here that says, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm not here to point you out. I'm not here to cause you to do something that you don't want to do. But I'm saying to you today, everyone across this church building this day, and those that are listening online, if you say in your heart, Pastor, I haven't given Jesus my life. I know about God. I believe in God, but I never said, Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and cleanse me. I want to be one of your child. If you've never prayed that prayer today, I want to help you in making that commitment and saying that prayer. So with every bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor John, I need Jesus. I want to accept him in my heart as my Savior. I need a sign from you. Either pick up your head and let us contact eyes, or lift up your hand and let me know. Whatever it is, I want to meet you where you're at. I want to meet you where you're at. You need Jesus. Jesus is the only one that's going to make a difference in your life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. I believe Jesus is that doorway. I believe Jesus is the way that you get to God. It's not through your works, through your wealth, through your money, through your job, nothing of that nature. That's not going to do anything for you. It's not about works. It's about faith in the Son of God. I look around the room. I believe that everyone's in the right relationship. Christians, let me go on to you as the worship team just plays that song softly. The invitation I extend to you today, Christians, is about your relationship with God. How are you experiencing rest today? How are you experiencing rest today? Do you throw yourself upon the grace of God and stop trying to gain his favor by doing more and more and more and more? How do you experience the rest of God in your life? Do you take your yoke and surrender it to him so your life will be a life of obedience, lined up side by side with the yoke with Jesus on the other side? How do you experience rest today, church? Are you learning of Jesus? Are you growing weary because you're not learning of him? But you are learning of him, and you're understanding the way, and you're willing to even surrender more to him. See, that's that rest I want you to have today. It's a refreshing rest that only comes from Jesus. That only comes from Jesus. We're going to sing this song, and as we sing this song, if you are in need of rest, if you need God to come and do something in your life, he knows even before you even say, because that's the type of God he is. As we sing this song, if you don't mind, slowly stand as your prayer to God.